Gee, today's daf is Lamed Ches. We're holding on the bottom of Lamed Zayin on the base. All right, we've been osek in some of the issues about the what defines really the nature of bread. We just began. What got us started was kugel or chavitza. Depending on how we understand this, it was machlokas Rashi and Tosfos as to whether we're talking about bread that's been boiled or we're talking about bread that's been stuck together. Stuck together with milk or with some type of oily honey or whatever. I mean, there's the, you know, there's, what do they call them? Pudding, like a pudding. Yeah. Okay, so there, yesterday we had spoken about the question of whether the lechem has the tsura of pot. Wasn't clear what that meant. Could mean that it was recognizably bread. It could mean that there's some kind of technical definition of what a tzurat hapat is. And indeed, those who hold that boiling is always going to be mavato, the shame of pat, unless there's a desire, to hold that by definition something boiled is no longer considered to be lechem. It loses its shame of lechem entirely. We'll see these things are on the Gel Halacha, which we've decided we're going to spend a little bit of time after the shiur today to do a brief halachic review on this issue. So we got up to the last things that we read were Amar Rav of Hudika Aleha Turita Dinahama. Turita Dinahama means Tsura of Pat. It has the shape of bread or the halachic Tsura of Pat. Truknin Chayavin Bechala. Bechiyata Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan Truknin, the correct girsa according to most, is also Chayavin Bechala. Not that there's a machlokas here. And what exactly is this Truknin? Amar Abaya Kuva De'ara. It's a type of bread which is made in a little indentation on the bottom of the kira. The kira is the what we would call a stovetop. And you basically mix a light mixture of pancake type mixture, and it sits in the hole at the bottom of the. It's like sometimes you see they have these built-in griddles. So it's that type of thing, except it's not griddled. It actually just sits there without oil and bakes, even though the top of it is open. In order to understand the tzura, the issues that are coming up, we need to recognize that the Mishnah in Masechet Chala introduces the concept of the chiyuv of chala, which has a lot to do with the nature of bread, by saying that you need to take into consideration two things. One is the fact that the Torah talks about arisotechem, reshit arisotechem. Arisotechem means, by definition, you need to have a dough. Not a mixture. Now, there's a big difference between the two because obviously we make pancakes. You don't have a dough, really. You simply have a mixture it's a batter. It's not an arisa at all. It never gets solid. You can't throw it to somebody. Well, at least not if it's somebody you like. So, the other issue, as it says, at the end of that process is, v'haya ba'ochachim milechem ha'aretz. There's something that's called lechem. In terms of how it is that you eat it. Therefore, says the Mishnah in Chala, that if you have Tchila is Sufganim, and Sofa is Sufganim. Now, Sufganim, of course, we use it in modern Hebrew for donuts. But the idea of Sufganim is actually, the same Lashon is Sfog. It means that what you have is a way of baking something, or cooking something, or boiling something, which turns out to be like a sfog, like a sponge. Which it's light. It's full of holes. And that leads us to two questions. In other words, you can make a batter, and a batter is always going to be light, because you need to pound something out and make it thick in order for it to turn out to be a cracker-like affair. So, on the one hand, you have Tchilato Sufganim, is where you have a batter. But it also has to be sofosufganim. Sofosufganim means that it is prepared in a type, in a fashion that leads it to remain batter. So in other words, if you're going to fry it on a griddle, or you're going to boil it like you do with a donut, technically. You're going to boil it in deep oil. When we talk about boiling, it doesn't matter whether you boil in water or you boil in oil. Both of those are called boiling. Tigun, by definition, is on a batter with a little bit of oil in it. This makes a big nafkamina mahalach, because we know what the din is about bishul, whether it's mayim or shemen. That's not considered to be the tzura of preparing pot. That's called sufganim. But we are not sure, because there's major machlokas in among the Rishonim about tigun, what we call tigun, like, you know, French toast kind of thing, with a little bit of oil on the bottom. But let's talk now about the sofa sufganim. So sofa sufganim would mean it's going to be boiled or deep fried. Now that kind of thing, the Mishnah says, if it's on both ends, it's neither arisotechem nor it's lechem is potter from challah. Most assume, at least here on the daf, though there are many who show them argue, that if you have either one, doesn't matter what your intent was, but if you have either one, in point of fact, then you're going to have lechem. Now what you have over here with this, what we've started off here with the truknin, that we're saying is chayav b'challah, even though the truknin is a batter, and actually the batter is prepared on the kira itself, so it's a very loose batter. You pour the water on the stove top, mix it with the kemach, and it sits there, and it bakes. The thing is that it bakes. And since it's baked, it's not sofa sufganim, but rather it creates a hardened pot type of thing, and therefore it's considered to be milechem ha'aretz, and so the truknin would be chayev b'chalav.
At what point, after it's baked only, at that point you would take the, or not, since it's not beginning?
Yeah, well, you have to have something to take from. I mean, if you can't take from liquid, maybe you could separate it earlier. The Omer Abaye, Terita, on the other hand, is betura b'chalav. So what's Terita? Now that's a machlokas. Some say that Terita is Gabu Martach, which is basically the same idea, except that it's poured out, it's made as a batter in a container, like we would make pancakes, and it's poured out on top of the kira, it doesn't sit in an indentation, so it's essentially, it's like you cook it on a griddle. It spreads out, and it's a pancake.
It's a boom.
What?
It's a boom, like the flat.
I don't know what that is. I know what those things are. If you're talking about the Arab bread, we're going to be getting to this. This is a batter. That's not made out of batter. You can't pour it out of a glass.
So the effect of having
no effect is not the issue.
Okay.
So the question over here is: you have sufganim b'tchila, and you have sufganim shebisov. In other words, it's not cooked the way bread is cooked, and therefore this terita would be potter min achal. Ikedi Amrei, here's where we get into a problem, is these Ikedi Amreis. Some say that the meaning of the Terita is not that it's Jabu Martach, but rather that it's Nahama the Hindika. The Nahama the Hindika actually is a dough, and what you do with this dough is that you put it on a shpud. It's like a what do they call those things? They say, when they cut the lamb, you know, what do they call it? Shish kebab. So it's like a shish kebab. It's dough, and as it turns, you put oils on it and flavorings on it. It's dough on a spit.
It's very opposite. It's very thick, then.
It's thick. That's the question over here, is since it's thick, mitchila, who cares about the fact that now it's being cooked on a spit, since the Mishnah says either way is considered to be a chiyuv of challah, and if it's considered to be a chiyuv of challah, we're assuming that it would also satisfy the requirements of being lechem. So we'll talk about this in a moment, because there's yet another Ikedi Amrei. So some say that it's Nahama de Hindika, and some say it's lechem ha'asui lekutach. This is bread. Rashi says the issue over here is that if it's going to be made for kutach was the dip that they used to use that had a lot of bread mixed in it. It was a sour milk and cheese dip. And this is not baked. It's rather left outside in the sun in order to cook. But again, lechora, it's thick dough. And if it's thick dough, then it ought to be chayav because of the initial dough. So here we have a very fascinating machlokas, and that the Rosh and some of the Rishonim, who are very much nogei lahalacha, they say that the Mishnah only means that if your intent initially, trilato lechem, doesn't just mean it was made lechem betrila. It means it was made lechem betrila with the intent to be lechem besof. So that when I made this dough, I was going to bake it. If in the end it turns out that somebody uses it, or I change my mind and I use it to make bagels instead, it's still bread. Because I can't be mevatel the bit of lechem on the dough simply because I boiled it. But the Mishnah is never saying, says the Rosh, that if your intent originally was to make bagels out of it, that it's enough that it's considered to be bread in that I made a thick dough originally. Since my intent was never to use it as bread. And bread is defined as something that would be baked. So in other words, both ends are necessary. The only point is that the original creation of the Isa, at that point you're chayav of challah. And it doesn't lose the chayav of challah by afterwards changing how you're going to bake it. That's all that it means. So therefore, according to him, since over here, the original intent is not to have it as bread. Because I'm not going to bake it, I'm going to leave it in the sun. Or I'm going to be putting it on a spit. That's not the way in which a person generally prepares bread. Therefore, even though it was, by the way, the word for sufganim and not sufganim in terms of the halacha is blilatan ava or blilatan raka. So even though blilatan ava, the mixture of the dough was thick, but nonetheless, there never was an intent to make this as bread. Therefore, the truknin are pater min hachala. So says the Rosh, and again, there are many Rishonim who agree with him. Sorry? We're talking about min hamotzi over here in the end. Although we'll see, that we're going to get a little bit later in the sugya into what the bracha is. Although we need to recognize that when it comes to bracha, there's three different dinim that apply to things that are made out of the chamesh taminim. We have a concept of lechem. We have a concept of pot. Pot is not lechem. You could have pot that's also lechem. You could have pot that's baba kisnim, for instance. So it's made in order to put things in it, or it's not a tzura of lechem, and so on. But there, if you would be kovei a suda on it, it would be chayev in a birkat hamotzi, and it would be chayev in birkat hamazon, and so on. We'll see, there's a lot of, there's a major sugya what it precisely defines pata baba kisnim. Not everybody agrees that pizza would be pata baba kisnim, but that type of thing, cake and so on. And then we have things which are simply maisa kedera, which even if your koveya sit on it, is not called pot. And since it's not called pot, it doesn't matter how much of it you eat, you're never going to be chayav to say Birkat Amazon on something which is not a type of pot. It may well be made, you know, I can have a nice cereal and an oatmeal and so on, and will be made out of Chamesh Taminim, but it's not pot. So there you could we'll talk about the pasta issue. I mean, these are very complex things, because we haven't even begun really discussing Kimat. What we've spoken about so far is only the thickness of the dough, the mode of preparation. We've spoken a little bit about a concept called tsura of pot, which we saw might have to do with just the way it's recognizably bread, but that's where it was originally bread. And we're about to get in many, many other factors. Here the Rosh has introduced a factor of intent to eat as bread as part of the definition of bread, at least vis-a-vis the chiyuv of challah. It's going to take us a while to put together all of the various issues and to see how they interact with each other. Because you might have something under one circumstance is bread and under another is just pot. Some things which maybe lose the tzura even of pot. Okay, so let's keep our minds open meanwhile. The question is, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that it really doesn't matter what it was that your intent was. He learns the Mishnah in Challah to be defining the state, not the intent. So if the Tchila was Blilatan Ava, in other words, lecha, and not sufganim. And the end is sufganim in the sense of how it's prepared, it's boiled. That shouldn't make any difference, and therefore he has to struggle with what, according to these two lashonas in the Igadi Amri, if it's Nahama de Hindika, or if it's Lechem Asri Lekutach, in both of those cases the dough is thick, and at the moment I made a thick dough, I'm already Chayav and Challah. Yet Rabbeinu Tam rejects the Rosh's approach, and many struggle with, so what Lamaisa does he hold is the Ptur in our Gemara. The Marsha says, look, apparently he must hold that Lechem Asir Lekutach is originally Blilatan Rakah, and that it's poured out, which is not going to answer, what about the Nahamad Hindika? You obviously can't have something on a spit that drips. And so what exactly is the issue over there? Why does he hold that it would be Potter from Challah? The Rabbeinu Tam Shita remains a little bit cloudy here. So, but we'll see as we go along. Maybe we can get to the bottom of it. Tony Rebbe Chia, Lechem Ha'asri Lekutach, Potter Menachala. So Rebbe Chia brings a brisa that says it's Potter Menachala, and yet, Va'atanya, Chayav Rechala, Hatab Kediktani, time over there, it explains itself. When is it Chayav and Chala? And here we're introducing yet another concept of it, Surah Dinahama. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ma'aseh Mochichin Aleha. Actually, the way in which you form the dough is the indication as to the usage. Asa'an ki'avim chayavim, ki'lemudim piturim. Rashi learns the ki'avim means that it has a tzura of like a little lachmania on it, but the type that they sell on Thursdays, not the type that they sell every day. Meaning that it's not just a block of bread, but rather it's a formed block. You put some design on the top and so on. Now, you'd never put a design in it if the intent was simply to grind it up and put it into kutach. So the very fact that it was made as lechem is an indication that you are talking about something that is chayim and challah. Mashenkin, if you make it limudim, limudim means that it's just a board. So that basically you're manufacturing bread, which is there to grind up now and to put into the kutach, and therefore would be pot. Now, if you learn that the intent is meaningless, who cares? In other words, we saw that we have a machlokas rishonim as to whether intent is important in the original formation of the lechem. If you don't hold, I mean, here Maaseh Mochichin Aleha shouldn't change. What do I care what it's shaped like? I mean, the bottom line is it's bread, whether it's got a fancy top or doesn't have a fancy top. So some learn that the issue over here is Gzeira d'Rabbanan. In other words, since there's no way really externally what are we going to say? That this thing, according to the Rosh, the Nafkamina, if the intent ultimately is, and he holds intent is significant, the intent ultimately is to put it into kutach. So then what's the difference what it looks like? Only that it's possible people will get confused. There's the fact that I have, let's say, I have a little bakery going in which all of my bread goes processed the same way. And my intent over here is anyway to break it up and put it into the kutach at the end and to bake it that way and so on. So that should be enough to potter it from challah, except for the fact that the buyer doesn't know when it's coming out at the other end. And somebody gets confused and says, hey, he didn't make a motzi on that. And I don't have to either, which is not true, because intent is not measurable in a thing. So therefore they made a gezeira to make the intent measurable, so to speak. So that if it looks like bread, so the assumption is that the intent was that it was bread, even though you, the baker, is saying, look, I'm telling you, it just came out that way. That's not important, because who's going to know? So according to the Rosh, in Achinami, this whole thing is really a gezeira. And there's no chiyav midiraisa here on challah for sure, according to him. Because there never was an intent to prepare it and bake it as bread. In the end, I'm leaving it out in the sun, and it's going to sunbake. Correct? And that was my intent all along, was to sunbake. The question is, it's not clear what Rashi Shito is over here. He's talking about a diraisa, that there's some kind of idea of a tzura of lechem in which maybe it's even the same thickness, the limudim. Because Rashi and Bishlam are those who hold it's a different thickness. And a limudim is more of a cracker type of thing, and an avin is a thick piece of bread. There already you can begin to say, look, you know, maybe there's an idea that's called the way something looks. And indeed, as we know, the Sfarim, for instance, won't make a brocha on a matzah, a mozilechem in aretz all year round, because that's not the tzura of pat. That's limudim. It's not avin. If it's the thing that you're eating during Pesach, and it's the kviyut of pat during Pesach, you'll make a mozi on it. But normally, this isn't considered to be pot. So here we may be introducing, according to the other shitas, a whole new idea of tzura literally in terms of what the thing looks like, in terms of what's socially mikubal to be called bread. And if this is not what's mikubal to be called bread, it's called crackers, and nobody would call it bread, then you don't make a mozi on it. Even though in terms of its original dough, it may be the same thing. That's an extreme.
I mean, it seems to be a relationship between the texture of the pot and the context of which it's eaten.
All right. Weak. Very weak. Olalaya Bayala Rav Yosef. I kuba de Arab. As our president raised the issue, this kuba de Arab, my mevorchem aleha. We've spoken about over here the questions of how things are prepared, legabi the halacha of challah and so on. The shaila is, what bracha essentially do we make on things that are baked in this fashion? On malay, what are you asking? Me savet nahamu, what do you think that's called bread? Gubla be'amu, all that is a batter. And as we said, the kuva diara, it's a light batter, which is poured over the stove top. And that is gubla. And therefore, mevorchen al ha'borei minei mezonot, it would never have a din of nahama. It's only ha'borei minei mezonot. Here's a big machlokus whether you would even be able to be koveya se'uda on something that bechlal loses its shame of pat and is gubla. But Marzutra kava se'uda, say hallelujah. Marzutra would eat these things for his se'uda. Because he was koveya the se'uda on it, he would actually make hamotzi, and he would say birkat hamazon. Furthermore, Amar Mar Baravashi, v'adam yatzei v'emidei chovato b'pesach. My time alechem oni karinan day. Since it's almost Rosh Chodesh Nisan here, it's time to talk about Pesach. So you could even have your matzahs like this, which would be much lighter even than what we would normally call the pitot that are used for matzahs, because this is a type of lechem, although it's lechemoni. Certainly not, it's not the type of lechem that's baked by someone who can afford normal bread in an oven for which he has energy to heat the oven. Over here, obviously, you're using this, somebody doesn't have energy, is going to use the immediate heat of his stovetop to cook in this fashion. So that's called lechemoni. V'yomar ma baravashi, hai dufshe de tamri, and furthermore, says Ravashi, speaking about the way in which we prepare things, which is not the normal way of eating them, if you take tamarim and you use your tamarim to make dvash, actually sell this stuff now. They didn't just sell it. You have to make it yourself. In any event, the bracha on such a thing is a birkas shahakol, not a bracha of the pri. There would be no borei pri. It's my time. Zeyab alhavu. Now the Gemara is going to make some interesting, I mean it seems that we've suddenly switched gears, but the Gemara is going to be making some interesting comparisons between a bread, which is not the way we would normally prepare the bread, and a fruit, which is going to be consumed in a way not the way we would normally consume a fruit. So here you've taken a date, and you've reduced the date to a liquid, to a dvash. In such a case, you would say shahakol, My time is Zeya Be'almu. We don't view this as the tzura of the fruit. We view it as nothing but like a condensate, so to speak. It's just wetness, but it's not fruit. Now over here, clearly, it has the contents of the fruit in it. Nonetheless, we're calling it Zeya Be'almu. Kamanki Aitana, Titzan, Dvash Timarim, V'yein Tapuchim, V'chomet Sufaniot. Sufaniot are the dates, as the word implies, the grapes that come up at the very, very end of the season, and they are never going to be fully ripened, because it's just too, by the time they get out, it's already over the season. V'shar mei peirot shel truma, and any other type of truma, which is just mei peirot, it's just the water content of a pre. Rabbi Eliezer is mechayev a zar who eats such a thing, both keren v'chomesh, because it's considered to be not only that he stole from the kohen, but he also ate truma and has a din of truma. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua poter, and Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that's not considered to be truma, because now it's just zeya. Omale ahumi rabbanan l'rob. A certain one of the Talmidim asks Rava, what's the din of trima? Now trima, there's again an important machlokas, unfortunately, Ketzet Mevarchim, because it's so Nogela Alocha, has so many shitas on each Nekuda that it's a little bit confusing. Rashi learns that trima means lightly crushed, but clearly still noticeable. You take an apple and you make a thick crushed sauce out of it, or a jelly out of it, but you could still see pieces of apple in it.
Chunky.
Yeah, it's chunky, exactly. So it's a little bit, it's not merusak, says Rashi specifically. In other words, it's not crushed. It's chopped up. So the chopped up trima, he didn't explain trima of what. And Rav actually didn't understand him and was a little bit embarrassed and not understanding him. Lo aviyadai to the Rav, Rava couldn't really figure out what he was talking about. So lo aviyadai to the Rav, my karmali. And Ravina wanted to relieve Rava's confusion. Ravina was sitting in front of him. So he asked the guy a number of questions which would lead Rava to recognize what trima was. And so he asked him, Yasavina came to Rava. So he says to the guy, when you say trima, what type of trima are you talking about? Are you talking about sumsumani? You're talking about maybe somebody's making trina and who's crushing up sesame? Or were you talking about the kurtami? Maybe you were talking about karkom, which is used to flavor wine. Or perhaps you were talking about dupurtsani. Maybe you were talking about the grapes that you're gonna cut them up in order to pour water on them to make what's known as temet, which was the water that absorbs taste of the grape. I think a lot of the badatz wines were made from this kind of stuff. No, seriously, they would buy the leftovers of the grapes, put water on it, let it absorb the taste of the grape,
that's
and market it as wine. Yeah, so this is basically. It has a din of, under certain circumstances, that you're able to say Bori Bria Geffen on it. So what's you laughing about? According to Bavadiyah Seif, you can't say Bori Bria Geffen on it. But anyway, what are you talking about? Now, meanwhile, Rava figured out what it was that the guy meant. I guess it was clear from the context of Ravina's questions to him. So, Rava caught on to what was going on. Omarlay, so he said to the guy, oh, I understand what you're asking. You're basically asking about chashilta. Chashilta means things that are crushed. So chashilta vareka amr, that's what you're talking about. Now that, you just reminded me about something I learned about chashilta. Atkeratan milta. You reminded me. Hadamr vasi. I tamre shel truma mutilasot miyam truma. I knew I heard that word somewhere.
Yeah.
And Ravasi had said that if you have dates of truma, you can turn them into truma, but you can't turn them into beer. V'asur lasot miyam sheikhar, because you're not allowed to change the usage of truma from a solid into a liquid, in other words, from its normal usage, And to make use of the thing for a different kind of usage, such as drinking. This is how the Rambam puts it, at least in the Yad, in the Pirshei Mishnayos. He looks at it in a completely different way, as some do, that the question over here is whether the reduction of Truma to something which is Sheikh Rabbi Yom is actually an Ibud. It's like a destroying the Truma.
Because you could turn grapes into wine, no?
Yeah, but that's called Mal Yusa anyway, and that's the fundamental use of the, we spoke about that. Oil and wine is unique in that sense. The Yulchata, the halacha is that Tamreva Vidnu Trima Mevorchina Layu Bore Priya Eitz. My time will be Miltayu Kaima Kamini Kara. Because since if you take Tvarim and you're only turning them into Trima, they're just what they always were, really. They're just crushed a little. Not crushed, chopped a little. Rashi says specifically not crushed. Again, this is a machlokas. There are those who hold that Shrima is putting it through a blender or a food processor, would still be called Shrima. So, according to Rashi, it's very priyat because it's chunky. See, the shatita. Shatita now is something which is a borderline food drink, and it depends how it's prepared, as we'll see. So normally we view it as a foodstuff. It's made from a type of flour that itself is not made of normal grains, but of parched grains. So you put the grain through some device that heats it. Then you grind it up into a flour, which gives it a completely different taste. And then you mix it with oils and other kind of things like that. We'll see that this was used in certain ways, depending how it was prepared, for a refuah. It was a medicine type of drink.
The puff grains?
Puff has to be heated suddenly and so on, but it's a parched grain. So you would say, I mean, it's shot from guns. Rava Marsha Kol Nieh B'Dvarov V'Shmuel Omer Borei Minei Mizonot Omer Abdistavala Plige Haba Ava Haba Raka. Actually, there's really two different types of shatita, because the Ava, if it's made thickly, so then it's being made Le'achila. And that indeed is a regular mizonot. But if it's made rakah, then it's really a drink. And that's made lerefu'ah. And over there, it doesn't have the chashivas of the borei minei mizonot because what? So some learn because the very fact that something's made lerefu'ah is a griuta. It means it's not really the way that something is eaten, just for food. But rather, the refuah itself makes it less than it would normally be. Or others learn, because it's a drink at this point. It's not really food. So in making it a drink, you've essentially turned it into Coca-Cola galore. And you still make a shakal on it. Masiv Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, all of the, although we have a machlokas tanoim about other issues, Vagabi preparing on Shabbos for refuah, everybody is moda, Shebochashim et ashatut, that you're allowed to now mix up yourself a shatita on Shabbos, and you can drink zeituma mitzri, which lamaisa is useful in terms of health, but it can't be that that's its primary use, because isak daikul refuah kamechavein refuah b'shabbat mishari. Are you allowed to take now a refuah on Shabbos? I'm like, why not? But you think that anything that's useful for refuah you can't take on Shabbos. But as long as it satisfies the requirements of being a foodstuff, you can eat it on Shabbos, even though it's for refuah. What are you going to say? That why is that mutter? You're going to say to yourself, isn't there a gezer of shrikat sabamanim? So how am I doing this? So clearly you're going to have to answer to yourself that the difference is the point is that this person sets out to eat. So chinami, or another way of putting it, The act that you're doing is an act of eating. The refuah comes out of the act of eating. Okay, so if that's the case for the shatita, again, the mashma'ut of the sukkah is that the person actually has to be mechaven for achila, not for refuah. The truth is, we don't really paskin like that, because the Rajba and many of the other Rishonim understand the Gemara to be saying not that his intent really is lachila. He'd never eat this stuff if he wouldn't want to get a refuah. But the way in which he has set it up is as if he is going out to eat.
The agaron, the mixed oil.
Like we had before. Exactly. The tzricha, now the truth is that we still need to know, even though we said over here that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos and so on, we still need to know the din of the bracha on this thing, you see. Because the imihai, let's say you'd say, look, it says over here that it's la'achila kamechaven. Okay, so over here, la'achila kamechaven, refuah memela kahavi. But how about a guy who is clearly taking shatita for a refuah? So over there, where he's l'chatchila refuah kamechaven, maybe there's no broth on a refuah. In other words, the thing that I'm taking, even though it's nourishing, maybe the fact that I have no intention of taking pleasure out of this, my only intent is for refuah, maybe I'm not mevarech. Kamash malan. Therefore comes along the din of Rav, that kimadit lehana aminei boi baruchet. You're going to need to make a bracha because of the fact that lamaisa, you're getting hanof from it.
Even if you're totally satiated from food that you ate before.
That's something, that's a question of Derech Achila, what's called Achila Gasa, which we'll talk about later. She'alapat, now the next thing the Mishnah says is alapat u'omer ha'motzi lachem in
ardes. What is the shita? If you're drinking lemon tea on Shabbos, if you have the flu, that would be...
That's fine.
That's fine.
I mean, that's not even, doesn't even get into this sugya. Because that's bad some of food stuff. People drink that all the time. It happens to be that it's useful for clearing your nose, whatever. But this is something that lamaisa, perhaps, it's the type of thing you'd avoid like the plague. I mean, but you can't say everybody is going to avoid lemon tea like the plague. You know? But anyway, even if it would be something that's miyuchad, you know, chamomile. It's also okay. That may be more like shatita. Sha'alapatu omer hamotzi lechem in aretz. And the Mishnah seems to take for granted that the bracha on bread is hamotzi lechem in aretz. This wasn't always so clear. And Tana Rabbanan in the Braita, we find that there's actually a machloket what the bracha is on bread. Mahu omer, what do you say on lechem? Hamotzi lechem in aretz. Tanakama holds, the way we're mevarech, hamotzi lechem in aretz. Rabbi Nechemya omer, no, you say motzi lechem in aretz, not hamotzi lechem in aretz. Says Rava, the truth is that everybody is moda, that the word motzi lechem in aretz would mean something that has taken place already in the past, which is what we want to say about the bracha. You have taken out bread from the earth. Where do we see that? It says, El Motziam Mimitzrayim. Now, El Motziam Mimitzrayim is a reference to the Yitziat Mitzrayim that's being made now, years later here, by Bilam. The question is, would you be Yotzi with the word Hamotzi? So in other words, the Rabbanan would also be motive that Motzi is certainly a good bracha. But is Hamotzi a good bracha? So the Rabbanan hold Hamotzi also means this. The Afik Mashma also means something that took place in the past, took out. We see, for instance, Hamotzi lecha mayim mitzura chalamish. Hamotzi means he who took out water from Tzura Chalamish. Was Rabbi Nechemya Sovar that no, Hamotzi is mashma, the mafik, It's the word hamotzi is like hamotzi etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim, and that hamotzi etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim is talking about in the case where they were sitting there in Mitzrayim, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, listen, you should know that you're going to have to put these words on your tefillin and bechor and do a pidyon and so on, and that's because you're supposed to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking you out of Mitzrayim. And he's going to be doing this. Not that he did it already, because they're still sitting in Mitzrayim at the time that they hear this pasuk. So how could he be referring to God who took you out of Mitzrayim? He's going to be completing this taking you out tomorrow, whenever. So that, how can you say, Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz, which would mean it hasn't even happened yet. The brokers all shame the bread now that you have in front of you. So it would have to be saying motzi lachem v'rabbanan. How did Rabbanan explain that? They say, no, this is basically being said as if you're standing in the future. In other words, Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, when you get out of Mitzrayim, be part of your bechoros, wear your tefillin. Why? To remember then God who at that point, looking back, hamotzi etchem, who did take you out. Though it hasn't happened yet, I'm trying to put you into the mode of where you will be 1,000 years from now. So you'll be doing these things to remember that HaKadosh Baruch was motzi you in Mitzrayim. So Achikam Elokut Shubrich Lo Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch was telling you, Yisrael, Kad Mafik Nalachu. After I take you out of Mitzrayim, Avid Nalachu Milta, do all types of rituals. Ki Eichad Diyadiitu, so that it should always be something that you're aware of. The ana wude afikit yatchon miMitzrayim, that it was I who took you out of Mitzrayim. Dichtiv yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem hamotzi etchem. In other words, you should know at that point that it is I who took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm not telling you now to do something later, so that now you should be aware that I will be the one who's taking you out of Mitzrayim. That's not the meaning of the pasuk.
The future best.
Yeah. Now, the Rabbona told Rabbi Zera, you should know that there's somebody we met, really, really good guy. I mean, it's the type of kid you'd want to have in your yeshiva. And they were Mishabeach Bar Reb Zvid. Now, there's those who say that Bar Reb Zvid's name was Et, which is a great name to give a kid, you know. You are the Tosefet, you know. So it should say Et Bar Reb Zvid, according to that Gersa, yes? So they said he's really a tremendous guy. He's the brother of Reb Shimon Bar Reb Zvid, and he has an Adam Gadalhu, and he's got tremendous expertise in brachot. So he said, oh yeah? You get hold of him, bring him to me. Of course, we know what that means. Whenever they say that, this guy's going to be put through the ringer. So anyway, Zimna Chada Ikla Legabe. So one time he came around to Rabbi Zera's area. And so they brought him to Rabbi Zera. Afikulei Rifta. So he's sitting there rubbing his hands with glee. Brings him now some bread. Patak v'yomar motzi lechem in aretz. I got him already. Zer shomrim alav adam gadol u'baki b'brachot. This you call a guy who's an expert in brachos. I mean, look. Bishleim yomar hamotzi. If he would have said hamotzi, he would have been teaching us all kinds of things. Ashmuina taima. First of all, he would have explained the meaning of the pirush of the pasuk hamotzi etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim. That's an important thing to teach. If you're able to use your words in an effective manner, then do so. Furthermore, he would also be Ashmeina deilchata karabanan, that we want to use the word hamotzi instead of motzi, even though everybody agrees that motzi is clearer. Huh? What the reason is, by the way, we'll have to think about. But doing this, the Amar Motzi, any idiot could say Motzi, it doesn't prove anything, because we said that for sure is just keeping yourself, keeping your head out of the the dirt here. You're not opening yourself up to attack the cloth. My kabeshman! The Yehudi Avad, and indeed, why did Ed do that? Lafukin Hashemi Pluto. He had no intent of putting himself on the line over here for a machlokas. In fact, we paskin hamotzi, so that we're going to paskin like the rabbanan who say that the word hamotzi is mashmo who did take out in the past. Now, even though the Maisa Tosis points out, but everybody is motzi, that motzi is good. So, what do we have to make things worse by saying hamotzi when we have an easy, clear cut explanation of motzi? Tosis brings a very interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the reason is because otherwise you'll get mixed up between the word ha'olam and motzi. But we will not be mitaken a bracha in which your words will lead to slurring. Because what are you going to say? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam motzi. One of the mems just disappeared. We know how people make brachas. Nobody's going to make that bracha properly.
Then he also has lechem min.
Oh, very good. And what about lechem min? That's the Tosus asks that. So Tosus says, there we have no choice because we're quoting the pasuk. As it says, lo hotzi lechem min haaretz, right? So that pasuk in Baruch Hinavshi says, lo hotzi lechem min haaretz. We're not going to change the pasuk as we found written in the Torah. Okay, so we'll use lechem min haaretz, but to be mitaken, to say that ha'olam motzi, that we don't want to do. That's very cute.
If someone said motzi by accident, it's still be
yotzi. Others learn that, on the contrary, maybe the point is, gufa, to be mitaken bracha, that teaches us what ha'motzi means. So we want people to say ha'motzi. That would be very similar to this Gemara. In other words, if we're tiny, Rabbi Zera is saying that somebody who's a baki bebrachos ought to use hamotzi, and that itself is enough of a reason, even though we haven't paskened at that point a hilchatak rabbanan. But there's an issue to show something. In other words, because a bracha, if you think about it in the broadest sense, because a bracha is meant to be a mode of human articulation about the nature of reality. That's the point of bracha. So in doing so, it's like it says in the opening of Bereshit, right? Adam ayin la'avodat adama is the reason that things are not functioning. That la'avodat adama, as Rashi says, means articulation of avodat adama. So the articulation, the extent of the chiddush in the articulation, is fundamental to articulation. I mean, to be able to say goo goo gug is not exactly what we do in brachot. That's exactly what Rabbi Zera was timing. If you have a chance to articulate clearly, don't take an easy way out and say motzi. Teach me something. Tell me something. I want to understand what a word means. So that part of bracha is that a word should mean what it means. So tell me what a word means when you say the bracha. Well, that's good for why we were koveyat in this fashion. Continues the Gemara. V'alai yirah kot. Now the next thing in the Mishnah, it said, and here we get to the interesting comparison, at last, openly, before we did it sort of, implicit in the assumptions of the sugya. But here, we're going to openly compare the din of yirah kot, which we say borei pri ha'adamah, to the lechem, in which we say motzi lechem haaretz. And therefore, says the Gemara, katani yirakot dumida pat. If you put together in the Mishnah in this fashion, bread and vegetables. So now, doesn't that mean that just like pot?
Just like pot?
Now we're talking. Just like pot, the halacha is, we base the bracha on something which has been processed. Correct? I mean, that's the first thing that strikes you. I think it strikes every child even. What do you mean, hamotzi lechem in aretz? Lechem doesn't come out of the aretz. So we're talking about using a bracha to refer to the original status of something which has been changed now and processed. Now, if that's the way we're setting up the Mishnah, then the mashmaut is that these are brachot. Doesn't change the bracha, the fact that it has now been processed. Then the same thing ought to be true about irakot. So if irakot have been processed, let's say now I'm going to put irakot into a pot and cook them up. The mashmaut is that I would make a bracha on irakot and still say, Borei pri ha'adama, despite the fact that they have been boiled. Now Tosfos points out that in terms of the way we've been looking at the sugya, this is a rather strange assumption. All along we've been saying that pot as a bracha miyuchedet because it was ishtini lamal yuta. Obviously, if I take something and do something to it which is not mishanet lamal yuta, so then why would you assume that because pot, I mean, this is the best thing you could do with wheat. You're going to tell me that this is the best thing that you could do with tomatoes? Is to make tomato sauce out of them? Or to make boiled tomatoes? Take out all their taste?
But there are some vegetables that would be the case.
Fine. But once you're telling me that, it has nothing to do with the comparison to pot. Don't answer me, there's some vegetables.
Got a different bracha.
Therefore, that's the whole point, isn't it?
But
isn't that the whole point? Okay, the different bracha is because of the Malayuta. So for by the same token, maybe you don't make a bracha at all if it was Nishtan. So Tosi explains, that is precisely the point. We're not coming to tell you here that every vegetable is the same as pot. But what we're saying is, the fact of processing doesn't change the nature of bracha. Now you can make up your mind whether you've ruined something in processing it in this way and therefore it's no longer the food. That's something else. But in terms of the principle, processing is not a problem to a bracha. Just as that's clear by pot, that has to be clear by vegetables. Now decide which processing is suitable to say a bracha on. So therefore, just like yirakot, just like pot was nishtadalya de'aur, we used heat to affect physical changes in the bread, so too we can use heat to affect changes in yirakot. Omar Abdai Mishmedi Abaya, that seems to imply that zotomer shlakot bevorchin alayem borei pri ha'adama. So now if you've got stewed vegetables, you should be saying a borei pri ha'adama on those stewed vegetables. Dorash Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu in this case being Rav, that shlakot mevorchin alayem borei pri ha'adama, v'rabotenu hayordim Eretz Yisrael, and who was that? That was Ula, quoted Rav Yochanan as saying that shlakot mevorchin alayem shakol niyebid varo, and continued Rav Chista to say, now that I've told you what everybody has to say on the matter, I'll tell you what I have to say on the matter. V'ani omer, kol shetchilato borei pri adama shalkol shakol niyebid varo, v'kol shetchilato shakol niyebid varo shalkol borei pri adama. The way I see it is that actually it depends, because yes, it's true that the processing per se is not a problem, but on the other hand, if the primary way of eating this particular vegetable, Arnea, would be through its being raw, and that's when I would say a borei pri ha'adama on it, then if I'm sholeik it, I now have reduced it, I'm eating it in a way in which this is not the normal, the primary way of eating it, therefore it becomes shakol niyeh bidvaro. Mashenken, if it's something which normally I wouldn't eat, and if I eat it in that unusual fashion without cooking it, I would make a shahakol. Then when it comes to the shaluk, I'm preparing it in its most fundamental way, and there I would make a borei pri ha'adama, for instance. I mean, I understand, bishlema kol shetchilato shakol niyeh bidvaro, shoko is borei pri ha'adama. I mean, I got plenty of examples of that, where there are things that I would never eat. Like, I wouldn't eat karba, salka, kara, I wouldn't eat a beet raw, I wouldn't eat a, I mean, I wouldn't, but it's certainly not the primary way of eating it. I wouldn't eat pumpkin raw, kruv uncooked. But kol shetchilato borei pri ha'adama, when I cook it, now I make a shahakol. You were talking about something that is ruined in the cooking, it takes away its taste. What type of thing is done that way that I make a shlokos av vetzachidish? Well, I mean, you take garlic, tumi, and karti. You boil up garlic, you boil up leeks. Now, that no longer tastes anywhere near as good. So sure, it does taste better. What do you mean? What are you talking about? That's great. I mean, So Tosa says, well, of course it does, but that's because you're not just cooking it up in water. You're cooking it up in a stew. I mean, there's other things in there. So together with the other things, indeed, it does taste better. But when we're talking about the thing which is now going to taste better on its own, because it's the way in which it's prepared, you can't say that the preparation of the garlic in now a meat stew gives you delicious tasting garlic, so therefore it's a better garlic. It's a better stew, but it's not a better garlic. And therefore you would be eating it as part of the meat stew, so it would be a shakal. And in this case, who's Rabbeinu? Boy, we got to really clarify this. This time it's Shmuel. So, Shalakot Mevarkin Aleihem Borei Pri Ha'adama. V'chaveirenu. Nachman Yitzchak gave the same drasha. V'chaveirenu Hayordim Eretz Yisrael. We're referring to who? Referring to Ula, who to him was a chaver, rather than Rabotenu Hayordim Eretz Yisrael, to Rav Chista, to whom Ula was a Rav. They quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying, "Shalakot levorken aleihem shakol niyeh bidvaro." And I got to tell you, my own opinion is it's a machlokas. That's the easy way out of this basic today. It's a machlokas, so, and it's an old machlokas. It's actually a machlokas which is brought in the Braita. The machlokas shmi. The Tanya, the Shaila is over here.
I should pull in the turtle.
Why is he called Rabotenu according to
Rabbi? No, why is
it? Because he represents the deyot over here. That we do when somebody is the. I mean, the Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through Acherim is Rabbi Meir. In other words, when somebody represents the day of an entire way of looking at something, he's given the name of an entire cut, so to speak, a group. Rather than himself. Because if you take a look again, getting back to matzah, would you be yotze if you take a matzah and you put it into water? Yotzin berekik hasharui, and even if it was mevushalt, but it wasn't yet nimoach, it didn't actually melt away in the water, you'd still be yotze matzah, and that would still be called lechem oni. And the Rabbi Yossi says, only a rekika sharui, but not mevushal, even though it really is still shaped like the matzah. And therefore, what do I see from there? I see, and again we have this strange comparison to lechem, I see that mevushal, according to Rabbi Yossi, takes away the shame of the original product. So if it takes away the shame of the product called bread, it would take away the shame of the product called tomato. And now you would make a shakal on it. So that, l'chora, is the two shitot that we see over here between the Rabotenu Sheberet Yisrael and the way in which we quoted the either Shmuel or Rav, depending on the case here. V'lohi. That is not true. There's no comparison between these two shitas. The truth is that everybody here in that braita, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, could be moda, that when it comes to shlokot, it comes to stewed vegetables, mevorchin aleihem borei pri adama, the only issue, pardon me, but when it comes to matzah, you've really, really messed up. Because when it comes to matzah, you've introduced an element that usually wouldn't appear in a discussion of brachot. And that's because the Torah is makpid on the issue of lechem oni, which includes the taste of matzah. That you're supposed to be experiencing something, not just eating something, not just consuming something. And therefore, by matzah, we have a new issue, which is called ta'am of matzah. So it's mishum de be'inan ta'am matzah. If you're going to be eating a matzah that has been put here into boiling water, then you're not going to be tasting the tam matzah of a lech. But when it comes, because that's the meaning of lechem oni. That's what it means. You're supposed to, right. That's why it's lechem shonim alav. I want you to experience the lechem of oni. So if that's the case, I mean, what are you eating, a knedel? That's lechem oni? I mean, the question of whether it's hamotzi is one thing, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about yotzi, your chiyav of matzah's mitzvah. It's very possible that Rabbi Yossi is moda, that when it comes to issues of bracha, so enochinami would be moda, that shlokos maybe doesn't change anything. Om Reb Chiya Bar Hava, Om Reb Yochanan, shlokot mevarchin aleim borei pri adama. So he quotes Reb Yochanan again, both Rabotenu or Chavirenu that came from Eretz Israel, were quoting Reb Yochanan. And yet was Rav and Shmuel. Here we have, that was Ula. Here we have Reb Chiya Bar Abba quoting Reb Yochanan, that Shlokot are Abori Pri Adama, and Reb Binyamin Bar Yefet quoting Reb Yochanan, that Shlokot are in fact Shakol Niyebid Varo, as the Chavirinu Hayodim Eretz Yisrael said. So here we have now a new quote of Reb Yochanan, in which he is contradicting those who were quoting Reb Yochanan before, Ula, and contradicting as well the quote from Rabbi Yomer Bar Yefet, and he was claiming that it's a Bari Pari Adama. Omer Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, you know, let me tell you something. You know where Ula came off quoting Rabbi Yochanan and saying that Rabbi Yochanan had actually said that it was a Shahako? Kova Ula L'Shabishtek Rabbi Yomer Bar Yefet. What happened is that he made the mistake of listening to Rabbi Yomer Bar Yefet in the first place, taking that as a given that Rabbi Yochanan had really said that, when he never had, and therefore he was quoting Rabbi Yochanan because he had once heard it from Rabbi Binyamin. He got so stuck in that he quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as if it was really Rabbi Yochanan. And I tell you, now we see where it came from. Because Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet never knows what he's talking about. And that's how it got mixed up. And we shouldn't even be quoting him. Meaning Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet, that's Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Who in his right mind would get confused when you've got over here Rabbi Chiya, you're going to have Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba telling you something, and you listen to Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet? I know what's wrong with you. First of all, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is very medayek. He's dayek v'gomer shmeitz mi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbe. He used to sit there and listen carefully to the exact language that Rabbi Yochanan would say. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet lo dayek. Everybody knows Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet would come out into the Beis HaMidrash, say something over, and would be confused as to the exact words of Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, every 30 days, he would go back in front of Rabbi Yochanan and say over the conclusion of every sugya to make certain that he had gotten it right so that Rabbi Yochanan could correct him. So, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Did Rabbi Yomer Bar Yefet ever do that? Rabbi Yomer Bar Yefet lo mahader. Furthermore, forget about that. Bar Mindenu. You can forget about that and forget about this. I'll tell you, halacha lamaisa, ahu turmusa, the shakar sheva zimna bikadera. There was a whole turmus stew, and turmus requires an awful lot of stewing. 7 times they stewed it up, and the akhlebi kinuach seuda, they were eating it for dessert, and it was flavored and delicious. They came and asked Rabbi Yochanan, what do you say on this bracha over here? And he said, borei pri ha'adama. Now you're going to quote Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet claiming that he said that you make a shahakol and a shalki. There never was a shalki like this shalki, let me tell you. And he still said a borei pri ha'adama. So I don't care how you look at it, I know what happened to poor Ula. He listened to Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet. That messed him up.
Isn't that the only way to eat that?
That's a problem. Because this turmus is inedible unless you stew it up like this. And then, the Od Om Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Furthermore, Reb Chiya Bar Abba quotes halacha l'maisa what Reb Yochanan did. Ani ra'iti Reb Yochanan, she'achal zayit maliach, he ate a salted olive, which is salting is the equivalent of shalki, boiling, and Baruch Alat Chila V'Sof. So he made on it a Baruch Pri Adam, and then he said, Allah eats, Allah Pri eats. So yeah, Rebishleim Shlokko, Bimil Tayu Kaina. If you're going to admit that processing through Shlokot leaves something, you were talking about vegetables, but it's not, there's no fundamental difference between a vegetable or fruit. So if you're going to tell me that processing leaves something in its original state, that explains why B'tchila mevarek alav baruch priya eitz, ulo b'sof mevarek alav bracha achat mi'ein shalosh. But if you're going to tell me that shlokot represent a change, shlokot lav b'motayu kaimei. Look, I mean, you could say he was mevarek alav tchila b'sof. Mevarek alav tchila could be a shakol. Fine, doesn't say what he said. Maybe he said a shakol mi'ebed varo. But l'b'sof? I mean, what is there to say? Now, remember that at the time of the Gemara, there was certainly a period, we saw this before, some learned that's the meaning of velo klum. Now, the velo klum is literally velo klum, that they weren't mevorech, the borei nefashos, except on things like basar and so on. But just on things which lacked chashivas, like water or like a stew, that had now no longer been miltayu. So the assumption was that there would be nothing to be mevarech because it hadn't been mitaken yet, borei nefashot across the board. So what would it mean when you said tchila v'sof? Isn't the word tchila v'sof by definition that he had to say a al ha'etz at the end? So what would he be mevarech? Says Gemara, well, maybe he held that you could say borei nefashot v'chasunan al kol mashibara after it. Maybe that's all that it means. That it was mevarech tchila v'sof.
An olive also? You have to do something.
Yes, of course. But remember, that was only one opinion. That was Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, and I'll tell you that it depends. Mm-hmm. He interjected that idea. So far, we didn't see in Rav Yochanan a concept of it depends. The question was whether the processing before is going to change something, whether or not it's the only way you can eat it. So if it's changed, Lamal Yusas, we'll convey a special broth on it. Now, this is a completely different way of looking at this. Because what you could say is, had we not been koveya, a special bracha of mizonot, or motzilechem in haaretz, for chita, we wouldn't have been able to be mevarech on it. Let's say that we only had a borei pri adam on chita. By the way, that's a machloket, you should know. Some say that it's a shahako. And that it's only if you boil the chita, that was the question. Rashi said the chita, okay, I don't want to, oh, but we once it came up, I realized I forgot to mention to you. It was a chita, Rashi says, the way it's raw, but not everybody's minded for that. But let's say that we would have a bracha, simple bracha, borei pri adam. So now I could say, if you boiled it, then you wouldn't, or bake it into bread, you wouldn't make any bracha at all. Elamai, you're koveya new bracha. Okay? If the Mishnah had told me that, habavarech alapat borei pri adam, so then I could say, then if that's the case, if you take vegetables and you boil them, you could stay borei pri adam. But if you're bringing me a raya that you make a new bracha, a motzi lechem in haaretz, and that the process, you can bring a raya from there that the processing doesn't change, maybe adarava. Processing takes off the adama. And now we could be kovea a bracha on something which is processed. So you could have looked at the Mishnah exactly the opposite way. Right? So it's the only thing we're kovea from the Mishnah is that the fact of processing doesn't make a bracha impossible. That's all that you've proven. So otherwise, the whole comparison is nonsensical. Okay, but now to be koveh necessarily that this is the bracha. Who knows? We should make a shakal.
So the last va'od is kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
The last va'od is rejected as the raya yesterday.
Yeah, because it might have been that. Yeah, you can't really prove it, assuming that there's a bunch of questions. Okay, gentlemen, I said we were going to talk a little bit about the, if you want to take the time, those of you who can't take the time, please feel free to go.